Music marks the times of our lives, reminds us of days gone by, and inspires today's and tomorrow's hits. Hi, I'm Dwayne Hall, and welcome to The Real Deal, spotlighting the best music and the biggest artists of yesterday, providing an insight of just what made them so great. We're proud to present this very special series on a company that not only produced many of the world's best-known artists, but pioneered a distinct sound, changed this country's perception of African-American culture, and also continues to impact and inspire recording artists from all walks of life, all around the world, to this very day. We're talking about Motown, Hitsville, USA. This is part three of a three-part series giving you an inside look at Hitsville, USA from the inside out. All of this from a two-story house in Detroit, Michigan, known as Hitsville, USA. Motown! Not only will we feature the great music of Motown, but we'll look into the lives of the people who made the music, pursued their dreams, paid their dues, and changed the world. From its founder, Berry Gordy Jr., to superstar Michael Jackson, welcome to The Real Deal's presentation of Hitsville, USA! Said to be the final act picked and produced by Berry Gordy, Berry heard about the Jackson brothers long before he met them. In fact, in 1967, Gladys Knight personally sent their demo tape to Motown. Their tape was rejected and sent back to them. Bobby Taylor of Motown's Bobby Taylor and the Vancouvers helped the Jackson brothers with their taped audition. The tape was sent to Berry Gordy, who had by this time moved Motown headquarters to Hollywood, California. They were signed on March 11, 1969, and sent to Hollywood to get started in July. Music industry history was about to be made. Berry hired Suzanne DePass to become a mentor for the brothers and formed a production and writing team called The Corporation. Their name was changed to the Jackson 5, and by January of 1970, I Want You Back topped the Billboard Hot 100. Can you remember the first time you saw Michael Jackson? I sure do. I was amazed at his poise, power, and delivery. I wondered, how could a little kid this young get so much talent and the ability to express it like this? Wow, I was blown away. The Jackson 5 made history in 1970 as the first recording act to have their first four singles reach the number one spot on Billboard Hot 100. I Want You Back, ABC, The Love You Safe, and I'll Be There. All four singles were almost as popular in other countries as they were in the United States. Releasing a succession of four albums in 1 year, the Jackson 5 replaced the Supremes as Motown's best-selling group. They will continue their success with singles such as Mama's Pearl, Never Can't Say Goodbye, Sugar Daddy, and of course, Dancing Machine. My name is Dwayne Hall, and you're listening to The Real Deal. Dancing, dancing, dancing.
She's a dancing machine.
Till the music stops now, yeah.
Nobody did it quite like Michael Jackson. Berry Gray would later refer to him as the greatest entertainer who ever lived. Long before Thriller, Michael constantly showed signs of greatness. He took an old Smokey Robinson song and made it his own. Even Berry had to tell Smokey, "The kid got you on that one, Smokey." Originally recorded and released in 1960 by the Miracles, Who's Loving You was produced by Bobby Taylor and issued as the B-side on the Jackson 5's first single.
Since you went away,
in October of 1969, the Jackson 5, with Michael at age 11, showing his greatness. The Commodores' association with Motown began as a result of a tour with them opening up for the Jackson 5. That opportunity occurred in 1971 when the group auditioned in New York for an then-unknown high-profile tour. Their excellent live shows eventually led them to a deal with Motown. Their first outing was an up-tempo instrumental dance cut called Machine Gun, reaching the top 10 and getting the group immediate attention. It was soon followed by one of their first number one records, released in March of 1977. Here's the song that paved the way for the Commodores and the solo career of Lionel Richie, Easy on the Real Deal.
No, it sounds funny, but I just can't stand the pain. Girl, I'm leaving you tomorrow. See a big stone and I borrowed. Yeah. Ooh. That's why I'm easy. I'm easy like Sunday morning. That's why I'm easy. To make it. Everybody wants me to be what they want me to be. I'm not happy when I try to fake it. No. Ooh, that's why I'm easy. I'm easy like sun.
Commodores, they knew how to be easy, and they also knew how to be funky. The band originated while its members attended Tuskegee University in Alabama. After winning the university's annual freshman talent contest, they played at fraternity parties as well as weekend gigs at local clubs. In 1977, the Commodores went into the studio and were recording and had a problem with the equipment. While the tapes were being repaired and replaced, the group took a break. Now picture this. Ronald LaPred, the group's bass player, began jamming. Bit by bit, the rest of the band joined in until they came up with the track and the bass line. Upon returning to the studio, James Carmichael, the Commodore's producer, he heard it and recognized that this could be a song worth recording. He asked everyone to see if they can come up with a riff for the song and maybe some lyrics. They took their tapes home. William King of the Commodores played it for his wife, Shirley. While he slept, she was inspired to write lyrics for the song. She came up with the phrase, "built like a brick house." That following day, William King came back to the studio, sang the lyrics to the band, and allowed them to think that he had written it. It took several years before the Commodores discovered that it was actually Shirley King who had written the lyrics. And although not originally credited, the band publicly acknowledged her as the song's writer. Reaching the number 5 spot in 1977, here's Brick House. I'm Dwayne Hall, and you're listening to The Real Deal. In 1982, Lionel Richie left the Commodores to pursue a solo career. He made his solo debut album, Lionel Richie, hitting number one with Truly. He has sold more than 100 million records worldwide, making him one of the best-selling artists of all time. Here he is out on his own and the start of a brilliant solo career, Lionel Richie and Truly.
Girl, tell me only this. That I have your heart for always, and you want me by whispering the words, I'll always love you. And forever, I will be your lover. And I know
unknown to most, things were truly coming to an end at Motown. James Ambrose Johnson Jr. signed with Motown in 1977, where in 1978 he recorded his first album, Come Get It, selling well over a million copies at the time of its release. Rick James played most of the instruments on the album, launching his career in grand style. Here's the song that started it all, You and I on The Real Deal.
That's right.
It didn't take much time at all for Rick James to be in demand to produce other artists at Motown. He originally planned to produce a full album for Diana Ross. When Motown told him they only wanted 4 songs for Diana, he gave all the songs up to a new and unknown artist, Tina Marie. Although the first of these songs didn't quite make the charts in the United Kingdom, her debut album, Wild and Peaceful, broke the top 20 on the U.S. R&B charts in 1979. In 1982, she released her most successful album, It Must Be Magic. I'm Dwayne Hall, and you're listening to The Real Deal. and produced by Tina Marie, you can just hear the influence of Rick James all over that record. Radio programmers and the record buying public as well thought Tina Marie was black. That is, until they saw her make history on Soul Train in 1979, becoming the show's first white female guest. Rick James was on a roll and really just getting started. From his Throwing Down album and by now known as the King of Punk Funk, here's Rick James and Dance With Me on The Real Deal. What a legacy Motown has left. Most likely you grew up with these songs and this company just as I did. The music is our life's soundtrack. Through all the good times and the not so good times, the music of Motown was there to pick up your spirits, bring us years and years of joy, and inspire us in many ways. Here's Smokey Robinson describing the first day at Motown and the mission Berry Gordy presented to the company.
First day of Motown, when we started Motown, he started Motown. He came to us. There were five people there. He said, I'm going to start this record label. And we are not going to just make black music. We're going to make music for everybody. We're going to make music for the world. We're going to make music that everybody can enjoy and listen to with some great beats and some great stories. And our quality is always going to be high.
Quality. That's what they strived for, and that's exactly what they achieved, and then some. Not only the artists, but especially the staff and the many people behind the scenes. The names you're not familiar with, like for instance, the musicians known as the Funk Brothers. They were put together by A&R man, Mickey Stevenson. Musicians including Joe Hunter, Earl Van Dyke, Clarence Isabel, James Jamerson, Benny Benjamin, and Richard Allen, among many others. Even the Detroit Symphony Orchestra and background singers, the Adantes. Or how about the producers, Holland Dozier Holland, Ashford and Simpson, Norman Whitfield, and Sylvia Moy, just to name a few. Then there's Maxine Waters, who led the Charm Finishing School, teaching the artists how to better present themselves. And speaking of presentation, how about Mr. Charlie Atkins, who was behind all of the choreography and wonderful steps at Motown? I can still do the Temptation Walk. We can't forget the promotions and sales staff led by Sales Vice President Barney Ailes, crossing racial lines and getting the product into stores and on the radio. This is just a partial list of the people behind the music and the story of Motown. Although Motown continued to produce major hits throughout the 1970s and 80s, the music industry as a whole, and of course Motown as well, experienced a decline in sales and increased costs of doing business. Motown's $100 million in annual sales dwindled down to $20 million annually. Berry Gordy made a difficult decision to sell his interest in Motown to MCA and Boston Ventures on June 28, 1988, for $61 million. Wow, from an $800 loan to a $61 million sale. Berry Gordy was a dream maker, a businessman who accomplished his dreams while making the dreams of others come true. A man with a vision who worked hard, made the tough decisions, and built that vision into one of the most successful black-owned companies ever. The music lives on today and continues to inspire the world. The sound of young America. Motown, Hitsville, USA. My name is Dwayne Hall, and thank you for listening to The Real Deal. The Real Deal is produced by Melody Productions, and we welcome your comments and ideas for future shows. Hit me up at the D-Man, that's the D-M-A-N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy, the D-Man, 524 at hotmail.com, and I'll hit you right back. Always keep it real, and thanks again for listening.